Welcome back, and we proceed with Drive Time. Now, the Scrap the New Labour Law campaign is a coalition of progressive pro-working class movements who have committed to achieving equality and justice for workers and their families. They have come together to unite their efforts to stop government from taking away the right to strike. Online is Ronald Weso, who is from the Casual Workers Advice Office. Ronald Weso, good afternoon and welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Ibrahim, and good afternoon to the listeners as well.
Mr. Weso, first, to begin with, just give us a background of this Casual Workers Advice Office. What do you do?
Well, as the name says, we support workers' rights. We focus on helping workers to access their rights and to extend their rights. And we prioritize those sections of the workers that's particularly exploited, I would say. Workers like casual workers, labor brokered workers, contract workers, outsourced workers, what we call precarious workers. That's where our focus is. And we provide paralegal advice. We represent workers sometimes at the CCMA, or Commission for Conciliation, Mediation and Arbitration. And we support workers when they organize their own independent structures, which we believe are very important.
Now, let's talk about the Scrap the New Labour Laws campaign. And what are these laws? I mean, why are you afraid of these laws, and how unprogressive are they to the working class?
Well, these laws, Ibrahim, it's a disaster for the working class and for workers. It's an outright, full-scale attack on workers' rights. Now, what is being done is that there's proposed amendments to the Labour Relations Act, the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, and then there's the introduction of the National Minimum Wage Bill, which the President has said should become the National Minimum Wage Act by the 1st of May. And the problem is the amendments to the Labour Relations Act, for example, is an out-and-out attack on the right to strike. Workers are already having difficulty in accessing the right to strike or going on a protected strike. There's a 30-day period of conciliation, and then when they get a strike certificate, they must give 48-hour notice. And if they want registered unions to go on a protected strike, then they must have in their constitution that they will have a ballot of their members. And all of this involves the workers and the unions in a lot of bureaucratic, it takes a lot of bureaucracy to go on a protracted strike. Now, what the labor law amendments are doing is to expand that. Instead of a 30-day period for conciliation, there's now a 35-day. Instead of workers then being able to go on strike, they also introducing advisory arbitration. And what that means is that the CCMA can go ahead with the employer, even if the workers don't agree and are not present, then they can appoint a representative for the workers to become involved in the arbitration process. And then that arbitration makes an award, an advisory award. It's not binding, but it will frustrate and divide and distract workers to no end. And then, of course, the biggest one is the secret ballot. So what the Labour Relations Act amendment does is to prescribe to workers how they should run their strikes and their organizations. In order for them to go on a protected strike, they have to have a secret ballot. If they get an advisory arbitration, then they have to ballot again. And what we will find is that employers will use this to interdict strikes, to drag workers to court, to just make it impossible for workers to go on a protected strike. And we won't see a decrease in strikes. What we'll see is an increase in unprotected strikes, with all the problems that go with that: police violence, violence by private security guards, and all of that. And that's just with the Labor Relations Act. There's also the amendment to the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, which does away with certain protections that the Basic Conditions Employment Act allows for particularly vulnerable workers. Workers like in contract cleaning, farm workers, domestic workers are currently protected by what is called a sectoral determination. And that sectoral determination prescribes minimum wages, but it goes beyond that. For example, for domestic workers, an important right for live-in domestic workers is that a certain minimum standard for the accommodation is set. For farm workers, the same. Farm workers have grazing rights in the sectoral determination, and these are being phased out, and it's not clear what's going to happen to those rights, and it's necessary for us to make a big noise about this. And I haven't even started talking about the National Minimum Wage Bill. Firstly, the 20 rand an hour is a problem. It's not enough. It's a poverty wage, as the government themselves are admitting. But secondly, we can confidently say most workers will not get it, or when they get it, it won't make a difference. And the reason why I say that is because there's no monthly minimum. It's a 20 rand an hour minimum. And last week I was on a panel with Business Unity South Africa, whose CEO, Tanya Cohen, was quite open. They said no, they went for the hourly minimum so employers can reduce the hours and spend the same on wages. So the workers who get it might get up the 20 rand an hour, but they'll actually end up with the same monthly wage and in the same poverty situation as before. Then there's also problems with enforcement. The Department of Labor is dysfunctional. It's common cause that enforcement is really bad. And now they've shifted that responsibility to the CCMA. The CCMA is a dispute resolution body. It's not designed for enforcement. So what we'll find, like currently with the minimum wages in the sectoral determination, compliance is very low. It hovers at 50% for farm workers. So if you dig deeper, like you look at women workers employed on a weekly basis through labor brokers, you'll find that non-compliance rise up to 80%, which is a disaster. It completely undermines the very idea that workers have rights in this country.
And the Portfolio Committee on Labor, actually in Parliament, are saying you, as well as NOMSA, GWASO, and SAFTU, and others, haven't made any submissions pertaining to these changes in terms of the draft that you are proposing.
You know, Ibrahim, the Portfolio Committee has been sending us from pillar to post. They've been confusing us. They've been confusing people. So the latest is that we are making an oral submission, and we definitely made a written submission. But let me explain to the listeners that the first call for submissions came out in November last year, and they only gave 2 weeks for submissions, where most people were never going to make it. Then they extended it until the 10th of January, when most workers' organizations were closed, and they had to extend it again. But now they are telling us those first calls were issued by the Department of Labor. So people made their submissions to the Department of Labor, assuming that given that the Department of Labor is piloting this bill through Parliament, that those submissions will also be discussed in the Portfolio Committee and in Parliament. But now they are saying, no, the Department of Labor's call had nothing to do with the Portfolio Committee. So those people who made submissions to the Department of Labor are not going to be heard in Parliament. And we are contesting that. We are warning them. We are going to court with this. We are going to stop them. They're clearly not taking consultation seriously. And we know that there's legal requirements to be met. So we'll have to see. So, I mean, the hearings, the Portfolio Committee is meeting on tomorrow and on Friday. And I personally am very curious to see who they will have there to listen to in person.
Okay, let's get to the background of the Human Rights Day, which we are commemorating today. Of course, we do know that this day is remembered because of the Sharpeville massacre, and the people were actually, you know, defying the apartheid, which in some form was actually a protest against certain things that were not, you know, in accordance with the provisions of law in terms of human rights. Now, looking at what we are looking at today in terms of, you know, workers being sidelined and workers not having, you know, the essential human rights in terms of, you know, acquiring access, you know, to good life. How are you correlating the two in terms of what occurred in the past and the present government?
Well, It's clear that we have a long way to go before we can really talk about human rights. I mean, the Pan-Africanist Congress led this campaign against the past laws, and people were massacred for protesting. We know that workers were massacred in 2012 in Marikana for protesting about wages. We know that just this week someone was shot dead in the Eastern Cape for protesting about service delivery. So basically, these labor laws are part of a generalized attack from the capitalist class, from white monopoly capital and their allies, to impose their will and intensify our exploitation. And by necessity, they will attack our human rights, restrict our right to strike, restrict our right to protest. The struggle is still very much on. We're still marching. We might not have to carry passes, but we're still facing the bullets of oppression every day.
So what else is going to be done concerning the Scrap the New Labour Law campaign? Effectively, you had a march today. What else is going to be done?
Well, we're going to make our submissions tomorrow and Friday to the Parliamentary Committee. Our lawyers are going to write them a letter to point out the problems, the legal problems. We will focus on the political problems of this labour laws. On the 21st of April, SAFTU, who was part of this campaign, the South African Federation of Trade Unions, have obtained a Section 77 certificate, meaning all workers can join the strike on the 21st of April. And we're certainly making a very strong call for workers to come out in their thousands and, if possible, in their millions, because we have to stop this attack. And we will continue campaigning, even if it becomes law. We will continue to resist because we are not obligated to follow unjust laws. That we learned from the struggle against apartheid, and that is the road that we will walk.
Ronald Weso is from the Casual Workers Advice Office, speaking to us on the Scrap the New Labour Laws campaign. In fact, they had a march today in Pretoria. Mr. Weso, thanks very much for speaking to us, and a happy Human Rights Day to you.
Thank you for having me. Same to you.
Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.